Blog Talk Radio. My name is Dana Schaffman, and I will be your cruise director for this awesome installment of The Daily Complaint. So welcome to July 1st, 2015, folks. What that means is we have already gone through the first half of the year, so there is no better time like the present to keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind, folks. So welcome to The Daily Complaint. Welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. A warm welcome to you for taking that first step in knowing your rights and asserting your rights, which is our motto here, our heartbeat here, our lifeline here at The Daily Complaint. And welcome to those of you who are joining us for the second, third, fifth, 12th. There is never too many educational opportunities, shall I say, to know your rights and assert your rights. So folks, again, welcome to The Daily Complaint. We're so blessed to be here every weekday to encourage you to know your rights and assert your rights, to provide options and a pathway for success to you. That's why we do what we do. That's why we come to you every weekday. And that's why we put out The Daily Complaint, and you can reach us at thedailycomplaint.com. So let me back up real quick and introduce myself. Like I said, my name is Dana Schaffman. I'm the managing member, just a fancy way of saying I own End Consulting. I am and will remain your cruise director, or your host for that matter, for this installment or this edition or episode of The Daily Complaint and every episode of The Daily Complaint. The Daily Complaint is brought to you by End Consulting, a strategic business consulting firm that also has a consumer rights advocacy leg or arm. We bring to you The Daily Complaint every weekday. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which is today, Thursday, and Friday. Fridays we cover a file in our office. However, days like yesterday, Tuesday, we also covered a file in our office because we felt it was important to do so. So sometimes we break the rules, but we do try to come to you every single weekday in order to educate you and provide you with resources and a pathway for success to deal with whatever ails you with regard to your debt or your finances. Okay? We bring to you The Daily Complaint every weekday at 8:30 a.m. West Coast, California Pacific Time for 30 minutes live. So we are on the air live. That's why we have technical difficulties and all other good things that you often experience during a live show. So we air at 8:30 a.m. West Coast or California time live to 9 a.m. That happens to be 11:30 a.m. on the East Coast to noon. And again, we air live for 30 minutes. However, you do not have to listen live to take advantage of the show. As I said before, you can visit us at thedailycomplaint.com. And there you can find every archived episode of The Daily Complaint. I think we're approaching probably 260 shows at this point. We've been on the air for probably about a year, almost a year and a half. So about 16, 17 months we've been on the air. We will continue to be on the air with you until we feel like there are no more complaints to talk about. So I don't know that that will ever happen, but like I said, we're committed to coming on the air to you via thedailycomplaint.com every weekday live and archiving every episode there for your listening pleasure whenever you can listen. That way you don't have to be available when we want you to. You can be available when you have the time to do so. And you can simply access every and any show by visiting us at The Daily Complaint. Now, once you get to The Daily Complaint, which is our show page, folks, you'll notice on the top right are links to our Facebook, Twitter, and website pages. Feel free to go there, okay? Especially if you're listening to a show that's maybe a couple days ago and we provide you with a resource that you want more information on. We generally, if not always, post up the resources that we discuss on our Twitter and Facebook pages so you can match up the date of the show to the date the resource was posted on our Facebook and Twitter pages, and you can access whatever resources that we talk about on the show at your leisure or leisure. So, again, our goal in providing you with the Daily Complaint is to educate you as to what consumer rights exist for you. It's also to provide you options, to provide some hope and optimism to you, to remove those dark clouds that might be hovering above you with regard to debt or fraud or, like we're going to see today, some just frustration in dealing with debt collectors. And then we love to bring you options and resources as well. So our goal is to not leave you empty-handed by any stretch. So therefore, we always want to provide you, and the first one we're going to provide you with today is the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Their website is consumerfinance.gov. You can go there and submit a complaint. In fact, we are actively pushing them, as well as all major TV networks, and all major regulatory agencies, to put out a public service announcement for you with regard to the CFPB. That's the craziest part of all of this, is that the government puts out resources for you. However, if you're not aware of them, how are you to utilize them? So that's why we generally provide on every show consumerfinance.gov, which is the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website, because there you can submit a complaint pretty much about any and every financial matter that you have, to include credit reporting, auto loan issues, credit card issues, mortgage loan issues, payday loan issues, financial services issues, you name it, they accept it, okay? And they require that whomever you're complaining about respond to them. And then they give you an opportunity to dispute the response, in which case they will investigate further and figure out what's going on in your file or in your complaint. So, again, it's a great place to start, but we're also going to visit the FTC today, or the Federal Trade Commission. It's the nation's consumer protection agency. So, a great place to start as well. Now, in full disclosure, many of the complaints that we submit and that you may submit to the FTC might trickle down to the CFPB. But there's no harm in posting two complaints and letting it trickle down. That's okay as well. Okay? So again, folks, there is a wealth of resources and options that are available to you to rectify the issue. The worst thing you can do is do nothing. The second worst thing you can do is try and battle whomever is violating your consumer rights without going outside of them and complaining to a different party. Now, the best case scenario, in my opinion, in our opinion here, is to file a complaint in writing or submit and send a qualified written request or a request for information or a notice of error. We'll talk about those a little bit later in the show. Nonetheless, all of that exists for you and is at your fingertips, okay? So, we've got a great complaint to talk about today. It's against specialized loan servicing, but before we get there, I want to just make sure that we reiterate what our motto or our heartbeat is here at the Daily Complaint, and it is know your rights and assert your rights, folks. I can't convey that to you enough. I can tell you this, I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to provide you with any legal advice. I'm not interested in being an attorney or providing you with legal advice, and you don't have to be an attorney either to assert your consumer rights. That's the great news. The other great news is you don't have to pay anybody a dime to assert your consumer rights, because all of these entities have been established to help you. So reality is that you just have to know your rights in order to assert them. However, I like to put together some sort of game plan or strategy for our clients moving forward, and they always follow a three-step plan in which we use here at End Consulting or the Daily Complaint. And that plan borrows from our motto or our heartbeat, our lifeline here, which is know your rights and assert your rights. And the first step is always going to be education, folks. You have to get educated. You have to know your rights in order to assert them. I kid you not, knowledge is power in every aspect of your life. The more knowledgeable you are, the more powerful you will become. Okay? So step one is always going to be education. Step two happens to be my favorite step of all of them, because it is investigation. It's where you're going to put your Sherlock Holmes hat on and you're going to investigate what's going on. What happened? Why did it happen? We're going to look at the complaint today. And the complaining party did just that. Okay, they investigated their mortgage. Now, granted, after they investigated, they don't know if anything happened, which is why I tell you to do it in writing, because it's much easier to get a response in writing than deal with some idiot on the other side of the phone that's a debt collector, as we're going to see today, that hangs up on you and doesn't provide you with any information that you're seeking. And then you just become more frustrated. Okay? As I said, you can submit that complaint through the CFPB at consumerfinance.gov and require them to answer you. Okay? So again, there's multiple ways in which for you to do that, or you can submit a qualified written request, and that can be a notice of error included in the qualified written request, or just a notice of error. We're going to look at some of those today. And then you can also submit a complaint to the FTC or the Federal Trade Commission, and their website is ftc.gov. So again, there are many pathways in which for you to successfully attack your issue, but it's a matter of getting educated, which is step one, doing your investigative work, putting on that Sherlock Holmes hat, which is step two, and then step three, which we haven't talked about yet, is action. You have to take action. You know, like I said, I prefer not to call unless I'm just getting a status update. Other than that, I prefer to do most things in writing, because therefore we have a paper trail of everything. And to me, that's how you build a case on your own, not as an attorney, just as a consumer, against whomever it is that's wronging you or violating your consumer rights. Okay? So, now that we've got our motto and we're all aware that you need to know your rights to assert your rights, now that we've got a game plan that includes knowledge or education, investigation or putting on that Sherlock Holmes hat, and taking action, let's take a look at the complaint today. It came from Claire, and Claire is going to tell us about her experiences with specialized loan servicing. Now, the interesting thing about Claire, and the thing that is so great about what we do here and about the Daily Complaint, is that we're not just talking foreclosure or people that are delinquent or in trouble. We're talking about people that are current on their mortgage experiencing debt collection woes because debt collectors are servicing their mortgage, which in my opinion is a systemic failure of the industry. But unfortunately, we can't tackle that one because that's a little too probably large for even our britches, so to speak. But we can together figure out ways to combat each of these egregious and abhorrent violations so that consumers have a voice and they have a place to submit their complaint or for their voice to be heard. Okay, so what is Claire discussing today? Claire has a complaint, like I said, against SLS or Specialized Loan Servicing. She starts out by saying, our mortgage was bought by Specialized Loan Servicing from our original mortgage holder about 18 months ago. We had no problem until recently we received a delinquent payment notice from a collection agency. Okay, well, SLS is a collection agency, so I don't know if that's what she's talking about, but wow. SLS claimed that we had not made our June payment. Claire goes on to state, we had made the June payment early as we were going to be out of the country after May 25th, 2015. So they made their June payment before May 25th. That seems like a pretty normal thing, right? That maybe you're going to make your payment early, whatever. You've got a payment amount. You pay the payment amount. Nothing seems to be awry. Claire states, I attempted to call SLS as soon as I saw the delinquency notice. By the way, her complaint was posted June 29th, so on Monday, okay? So obviously they were going to be out of the country, and this is, you know, the first time that she could address this. So she attempted to call SLS as soon as she saw the delinquency notice. After a 10-minute wait, accompanied by loud music, I was connected with Erica. Okay? First rule of thumb, folks, is not only do you get the name of the person you're speaking to, but make sure if they're not willing to provide you with a last name, they provide you with some sort of agent identification, whether it's an agent ID number or an extension or something you can attach to it, because who knows how many Ericas work for SLS, right? Erica informed Claire that the May 20th early payment, so she paid on May 20th for June 1st. Doesn't seem like an extraordinarily early payment. It just seems like someone that pays their bills on time or early. So Claire explains that Erica informed her that the May 20th early payment was viewed as an addition to the original May payment. Well, that's weird. You know, why wouldn't they? So they have to wait till June? That none of that makes sense. You know, generally payments are due on the 1st, or who knows when her payment was due. But obviously, she's stating that the June payment they paid early as they were going to be out of the country since May 25th. So, okay. She asked for a phone contact number, which Erica supplied. She said the situation would be rectified the next morning, June 30th. She announced she needed to put me on hold. So, again, this is June 29th, so this must be, she must have spoken to them June 29th. She announced she needed to put me on hold. I requested daunting stuff, huh, folks? You make a payment at the end of May for June, and it gets credited as an extra principal payment, even though you don't specify it as such. And it's the exact payment amount, okay? Seems like a pretty easy fix, right? You just apply that payment instead of to the principal, you apply it as the payment. Well, you sure would think so, right? So let's talk a little bit about debt collection practices, okay? In order to do this, we're going to go to the Federal Trade Commission's website because I think it's important for you to understand what is a debt collector, okay? So, debt collection. If you're behind in paying your bills or accredited records mistakenly make it appear that you are, a debt collector may be contacting you, SLS. This includes collection agencies, lawyers who collect debts on a regular basis, and companies that buy delinquent debts and then try to collect them, okay? Here are some questions and answers about your rights under the Act. What types of debts are covered? The Act covers personal, family, and household debts, including money you owe on a personal credit card account, an auto loan, a medical bill, and your mortgage. The FDCPA does not cover debts you incurred to run a business. Okay. Can a debt collector contact me any place or any time? No. How can I stop a debt collector from contacting me? If a collector contacts you about a debt, you may want to talk to them at least once to see if you can resolve the matter, even if you don't think you owe the debt, can't repay it immediately, or think the collector is contacting you by mistake. If you decide after contacting the debt collector that you don't want the collector to contact you again, tell the collector in writing to stop contacting you, and they tell you how to do that here. Okay? Can a debt collector contact anyone else about the debt? If an attorney is representing you about the debt collector must contact the attorney rather than you. If you don't have an attorney, a collector may contact other people, but only to find out your address, your home phone number, and where you work. Collectors usually are prohibited from contacting third parties more than once. Other than to obtain this location information about you, a debt collector generally is not permitted to discuss your debt with anyone other than you, your spouse, or your attorney. Okay? What does the debt collector have to tell me about the debt? Every collector must send you a written validation notice telling you how much you owe within 5 days after they first contact you. This notice also must include the name of the creditor to whom you owe the money and how to proceed if you don't think you owe the money. Can a debt collector keep contacting me if I don't think I owe any money? If you send a debt collector a letter stating that you don't owe any or all of the money or asking for verification of debt collectors, harassment. Debt collectors may not harass, oppress, or abuse you or any third parties they contact. For example, they may not use threats of violence or harm, publish a list of names of people who refuse to pay, use obscene or profane language, repeatedly use the phone to annoy somebody. Goes on to state they can't make false statements. They are prohibited from saying that you will be arrested. They'll seize, garnish, attach, or sell your property or wages. Or legal action will be taken against you if doing so would be illegal. Debt collectors may not give false credit information about you to anyone, including a credit reporting agency. By the way, this gets violated all the time. Send you anything that looks like an official document from a court if it isn't, or use a false company name. Debt collectors may not engage in unfair practices when they try to collect a debt. For example, they may not try to collect any interest fee or other charge on top of the amount you owe unless the contract that you created your debt or your state law allows the charge. Deposit a post-dated check early. Take or threaten to take your property unless it can be legally done. Or contact you by postcard. Okay? So again, there's a lot of rules that govern debt. This is just one side of the fence through the FDCPA. Okay? We're going to go to the CFPB. Or like we said, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. By the way, their website is consumerfinance.gov. If you go there, you'll notice on the top left, it states an official website of the United States government. So, what if you are Claire and you get a letter from a debt collector stating that you didn't pay? Okay? You can do a couple different things. You can write a qualified written request, in this case to SLS. By the way, if you type in QWR when you get to consumerfinance.gov in their search bar, you'll get this information. It states a qualified written request is a written correspondence that you or someone acting on your behalf can send to your mortgage servicer. The purpose of a QWR is to dispute an error relating to the service of your mortgage loan or to request information about the servicing of your mortgage loan. Okay? The tip here is a QWR is just one way to notify your servicer of an error or mistake, or make a request for information. You can send your servicer a notice of error or request for information instead of a QWR. So, let's talk about a notice of error, okay? How do I dispute an error with my servicer about my mortgage? If you think your mortgage servicer has made an error relating to your mortgage loan, you can call your servicer. They may be able to help you over the phone. In Claire's case, not. To get certain protections, though, you have to write to your servicer. Okay? That's where we want you to live, folks. We want you to write to your servicer. So that's the second tip. Write your servicer a letter. If your servicer is unable to resolve your issue over the phone, which it seems like Claire has no idea whether or not they did, you have additional protections if you put your request in writing. That's why we always suggest, folks, that you put a letter together and not only send it to your servicer, in this case SLS, but it's a wonderful opportunity for you to submit the complaint, or option I should say, to submit the complaint to the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And the nice thing is, when you visit consumerfinance.gov, there's a big green link that says submit a complaint. So you can not only get educated through consumerfinance.gov, but you can submit your complaint as well. However, it says you can use this sample letter to help you write your mortgage servicer about an error. This document also provides some additional information about disputing an error with your servicer. If you submit a letter, remember, include your name, home address, and mortgage account. Use the name that is on the mortgage. Identify the error. Tell your servicer exactly what error you believe occurred. Don't write your letter on your payment coupon or other payment form you get from the mortgage servicer. Make sure you mail the letter to the right address. Honestly, you can fax or email the letter in as well. You don't have to mail it, so you don't have to wait the 3 days or whatever for them to get it. We generally fax and email the letters in. That's how we proceed, because regardless, they all get it the same way, and they have to log it in if you fax it or email it. Okay? While you're waiting for a response, you should continue making your mortgage payments as scheduled. They give information. Your mortgage servicer's response. Your mortgage servicer must send you a letter informing you that it received your letter within 5 days, not including weekends and legal public holidays. So 5 business days. Okay? They have to do that within 5 days of receiving your letter. Okay? So now you're understanding, wow, now I'm going to get some speed versus waiting to hear what's going on. Generally, your mortgage servicer must respond with an answer to the error within 30 business days. Your servicer has the options to correct the error and confirm the correction in writing. After investing the error, send you a written notice explaining why it is found that no error occurred. Ask for additional information, or inform you in writing that it will seek an additional 15 days, business days, to investigate and respond to your notice of error. If the error you are writing about has to do with the servicer improperly starting the foreclosure process or filing for foreclosure sale or judgment, the servicer must respond to your notice of error before the foreclosure sale. Okay? So there you go. So folks, it's so important for you to know your rights in order to assert your rights. We're going to post up links to writing a notice of error. We're going to post up the link to the debt collection, all of which can be found at the Daily Complaint by simply clicking on our Twitter and Facebook links. You can also go to our website, and if all else fails and you need information and you can't get what you're seeking, then my personal signature, again, my name is Dana Schaffman, I'm the managing member of N Consulting and the host of the Daily Complaint, is always at the bottom of every single show. So folks, there is no reason for you to not know your rights and assert your rights. I hope you have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to the Daily Complaint. We'll be back tomorrow with another awesome edition. Enjoy your first day of July, folks, and keep your mind on your money and your money on your mind, and visit us at thedailycomplaint.com. Thank you so much for your support and listening to our program and supporting us. We wish you the best of luck, folks. This is The Daily Complaint.